particular passage. Like I said, it's very similar to the letter in Smyrna. And the reason it's similar is because the letter to Smyrna and the letter to Philadelphia are the only two letters that Jesus writes to the seven churches where there's nothing negative said, either about Smyrna nor about Philadelphia. Everything said about them is positive. There is one difference, and we'll get to that one difference in just a second, or in just a little bit. The Bible tells us in verse 3, in verse 7, in chapter 3, verse 7, that the one who is writing this, which is Jesus, is the one who is holy, the one who's never done anything wrong, the one in whom there was no fault, the one in whom there was no sin, the one who bore the exact image of God, and the one who did everything God would have him to do, the one who was set apart for God's purpose and never deviated from it. He's the one that is holy. And not only is he the one that is holy, the one who is writing is the one who is true. Everything that he says is true. Everything that he says is right. Everything that he says is correct. And he's writing this to the church at Philadelphia. He is also the one who has the key of David. The key of David. He has the key or the authority of David. He's the one who sits on David's throne. He's the one who has all of the promises that God has made to David and grants access to all of those promises that God has given to King David. This is what is said in the book of Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 22. When this phrase is first given, and in this particular passage in Isaiah 22, 22, Isaiah is talking about a coming king of Judah and descendant of David who is going to destroy a wicked king. But in Isaiah 22 and 22, we have a prophecy. And the primary individual talked about in connection with this verse is Jesus. The Bible says that I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. And when he opens, no one will shut it. And when he shuts it, no one will open it. That same verse in chapter 3 and verse 7 of the book of Revelation, this Jesus, the one who is holy, the one who is true, the one who has the key of David, is the one who opens and no one will shut. And the one who shuts and no one opens. And it's almost the very same phrasing that Jesus uses when he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. There is no way or no door open to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus opens that door, it's the only door that will be open. And when he shuts it, there is no entrance. And so this is the letter written by Jesus to the church at Philadelphia. In verse 8, the New American Standard reads it this way. And it reads a little different from the New International Version and from the Revised Standard Version. And I want you to notice the difference. Jesus says in this verse, I know your deeds. I know what you've been doing. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. And that reads like the reason this open door is given to the church at Philadelphia is because they have a little power, because they've kept his word, and because they have not denied his name. It reads a little differently in the NIV, probably a little closer to what's intended. It says this, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Let's break it down and let's take a look at the verse for just a second before we get back to the main phrase. I know you have a little strength. What does that mean? Are they small in number? Are they a group of people that have no influence? Are they a group of people that have no political influence, no real strong influence in the community? Are they a group of people that really would be overlooked and ignored because of who they are? That kind of ties in with something that is said to us in another passage in the Bible, where Paul, in talking to the church at Corinth, says, look at yourselves. There's not many rich among you. There are not many powerful. There are not many that have a great deal of influence. And it may be that that's the very thing that Jesus is saying here to the church at Philadelphia. You're individuals without a great deal of strength, or you're a group without a great deal of strength, yet you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. And Jesus begins this verse by saying, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. What's that open door? That open door is an opportunity for their faithfulness. That opportunity for their faithfulness leads to their eternal reward in heaven. And that's what's going to be this open door. Because all he's talking about with this group of people is their faithfulness and what's going to happen as a result of their faithfulness. So let's take a look and go a little further in verses 9 through 13. We're going to look at the verses, but I'm just going to put up a sentence summary about what's stated in each one of them. In verse 9, Jesus knows where they are, and he knows who's giving them problems. And it's the Jews. And he says in verse 9, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews, but they are not. Not Jews as God defines it. And he does not define it by physical descent. He defines it by spiritual descent of those who have faith like Abraham did. But this synagogue of those who claim to be Jews in the city of Philadelphia are creating all kinds of problems for this little group at Philadelphia that doesn't have a great deal of influence. And Jesus will say about them, I will make them come and recognize who you are and recognize that you are the ones who have been faithful to God. And I will cause all of your enemies to recognize that you are the ones who truly belong to God. And then in verse 10, he says this. In verse 10, you have kept my word. You have kept the word of my perseverance. You have kept the word of my faithfulness. You have kept the word where Jesus commanded us to persevere and to be faithful to him, no matter what might occur in our life. And because you have kept my word, I will protect you from the testing that is coming upon all of the world. You will be protected from it because you have been faithful to me. Now here's where it gets interesting. To the letter that he writes to the church at Smyrna, he says the very same things about their faithfulness. They have not denied his word. They have been faithful to him. But there's a difference with the letter that he writes to Smyrna. When he writes to Smyrna, he says, you are about to be tested for 10 days. And the idea of 10 days is not a literal number of days, but the 10 days means you're going to be tested for a complete period of time, but it's going to be limited. It's going to come to an end. But look at the difference in Philadelphia and Smyrna. Why the difference? I have no idea. Why does suffering come upon some people but not on others? I have no idea. And here are two congregations Jesus has nothing bad to say about. And one of them is going to be protected from the trials that are about to come. And the other one is going to go through them. And Jesus says to the church at Smyrna, but you be faithful even if it causes your death, and I will give you the crown of righteousness. And he tells the church at Philadelphia to remain faithful and to continue to walk through this open door of showing themselves to be faithful to God, even though they are going to be protected from the trials that are about to come. In verse 11, he tells them, I'm coming quickly, so keep holding on. And keep holding fast to what you have so that nobody will take your crown. There's a possibility of losing it if you don't remain faithful. If you don't continue to do the things that you're supposed to do. And then in verse 12, he says, the one that overcomes, those individuals that overcome will be God's people. They will be the ones that will be in God's temple. They will be the ones that will dwell with him forever. They will have God's name written on them. They will be recognized by all humanity. They will be recognized by all heavenly creatures as being the very people of God because they've remained faithful until the end. And that's what he continues to tell this congregation that is at Philadelphia. And listen to this carefully. This is the way he ends. Let the ones who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And the emphasis on being faithful. An open door. What does that mean? An open door. It's the phrase that is used several times in the Bible. And every time it is used in the Bible, it carries with it the same kind of meaning or the same idea. The word open door can mean a lot of different things today. It can be talking about an open door policy, which means everybody's welcome and everybody can come in. Or it can be talking about an open door from the standpoint of an opportunity. And that standpoint of an opportunity is the way that it's used in the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 14, and ignore the verse that is on the screen. And ignore the verse that is in your outline. Because it's not verse 6, it is verse 27. And I can't see who's in the sound booth this morning, but I know simply because I've said that it'll be changed for next service. And I won't have to correct it. But for this service, it's Acts chapter 14 and verse 7. And the Bible will talk about a door of faith open to the Gentiles as Paul is on his missionary journey. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 through 9, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth and says, I've been wanting to come to you, but God has opened wide an effective door of service in Ephesus. And you remember when Paul was in Ephesus, they had the riot, they had other problems that were going on. Paul had to leave the synagogue because the Jews weren't accepting him. And he goes out to the school and he stays for 2 years. And the 2 years that he stays teaching at that school in Ephesus, the Bible will tell us that the word of God was given to all of Asia. And that's that wide door of effective service that the Apostle Paul was writing about when he wrote to the church at Corinth. And so it's an opportunity to teach the gospel to others. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul asked the Colossians as he closes out his letter, pray that God will open a door for the word. Pray that God will open a door of opportunity for the word to be able to teach. Do we have an open door? Every single one of us do. Every single one of us has a door that has been opened to us by Jesus Christ. We have an open door of faith. He has opened the door to grant us to become believers in God and in His Son. And that by believing in His Son, we can have eternal life. We have an open door of forgiveness. God has opened the door that we can be forgiven of every sin that we have done wrong. And He opens the door of opportunity for us to forgive others. He has opened the door of opportunity of hope. We have a hope that is sure. A hope of being able to be with God forever in heaven. We have a door of opportunity. A door of opportunity to teach. A door of opportunity to hear. a door of opportunity to forgive, a door of opportunity to love, a door of opportunity to be bound or to bond in unity in Christ Jesus. There's so many things to talk about with each and every one of those. I kind of think I want to focus on one. But just look at all of the opportunities that we have to share God's word with others. We can do it online. We can do it through World Bible School. You can do it just by talking to your neighbors or just doing it by talking to your friends. The opportunity to hear. The opportunity for your children to hear. In our Bible classes. In our opportunities to have discussion with each other and to talk with each other. Opportunity to forgive. Wow. How many folks need your forgiveness? How many individuals do you need to forgive? How many times do we need to increase our love for others and our love for other people? But to do this one, bond and unity in Christ. Do you know everybody at River Chase? Do you know everybody in First Service? Look around where you sit. Do you know everybody who sits around you? And maybe you do because they're the ones that are always sitting there. And maybe they're family members, but they're always where you are, and you're always right there, and you know the ones that are there because they're there every time. But what about the ones that come in and dare to sit in your place or in your vicinity that you've never seen before? Do you get to know them? What about taking the opportunity of moving around? Now, I know that's getting off of holy ground. But what if we take the opportunity to move around? To get to know folks in other spots. And get to know who they are. After we get to know the ones in our spots. Now, if you're in your spot, and that's where you always are, and you don't know the people around you, you don't know what's going on in their life, you can't turn around and say, well, how did that go or what happened? If that's not happening with you, then you have a wide door of opportunity to bond. We all have a wide door of opportunity to bond with each other in order to get to know one another better. And the worst of all suggestions, have you ever thought about going to Second Service? Have you ever thought about just going and saying, hi, who are you folks? And getting to sit in your place and see who sits there Second Service. And see if they would react the same way you would react if somebody sat in your place. And get to know them, just getting to know one another. And the same thing's true in classes. And going to our classes. We have a door of opportunity. But this door of opportunity is not just on bonding. It's in so many different areas. What are we doing with a door of opportunity that God has opened to us? And you can't do this without looking at this. The open door in me. I love this verse. It's the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and it's verses 12 through 17. What happens if I don't take advantage of an open door? Guess what? There are very few of us, if any, who've had a door open for us that we didn't take advantage of. And the Apostle Paul writes about an open door that he did not take advantage of. He comes to Troas, and he tells us in Troas, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 through 17, that God opened a door of opportunity for him in Troas. And that open door of opportunity was an opportunity to teach the gospel. And people were being receptive to it. But Paul said that he couldn't find Titus. And because he couldn't find Titus, he left Troas and he went to Macedonia. In order to settle the troubled spirit that he was having about Titus. And so he goes to Macedonia to try to find him. So he walked away from a door of opportunity, and he didn't take advantage of it. So does he overwhelm himself with guilt? Does he overwhelm himself and beat himself up because he walked away from this door of opportunity? I think it may have bothered him, and I think it bothered him maybe as he looked back upon it. But look at the way he talks about it. Thanks be to God that no matter who we are, what we're doing, and where we go, wherever we go, we take his aroma with us. Because we smell like Jesus. We talk like Jesus. We live like Jesus. Jesus is the reason for our life. And so wherever we go and whatever we're doing, we take with us the aroma of Jesus Christ. For some individuals, that aroma of Jesus Christ stinks like death. And they don't want any part of it. They don't want to be around it. For others, it smells like the fragrance of life as it ought to be lived. And they delight in it. So wherever he goes and whatever he does, he walks like Jesus would have him to walk. And granted, I didn't take advantage of that opportunity. But that's okay. Because Jesus will give me another. And he will give me another. And he will give me another. Because the key thing is, whatever I'm doing, wherever I go, be faithful to him. Wear his aroma. And be what he would have me to be. And that's the open door of opportunity that Jesus is describing for Philadelphia. I'm giving you a wide open door of opportunity to be faithful to me. Doesn't matter if you're not very strong. Doesn't matter if you don't have talents. Doesn't matter if you don't think you have influence. I just want you to be faithful. And if you're faithful to me, you will have that crown and you will live with me forever. Even if you make mistakes along the way, and even if you don't take advantage of all the doors of opportunity I give to you, you make sure you take advantage of this one and you be faithful to me.